Yes. All right. Thank you, team. Just so you may be seated. Kids, we're going to dismiss you if you're first through sixth grade. Follow Miss Lindsay right out those back doors back there. If this is your first time here, it is a pleasure and an honor to have you here. We're very thankful for your presence. If you don't mind filling out one of those cards, we'd like to have a record of you being here, and we'd like to call people at about 2 or 3 in the morning. Just to see how Christian you really are. No, not really. We won't bug you. We promise, but we'd like to at least be able to call and see how you're doing or see what you thought of the service or our church or anything. I love it when people say how friendly our church is. Thank you for that. That's all you, and way to go. I'm going to bring Pastor Keith back up here for a little bit and tell you about something that also this church is very passionate about in our efforts to give. Christmas, the Operation Christmas Child shoebox thing is a big hit here. So
right.
Tell
Amen.
Us about that. About
All right, I have just a couple of things. One is the Operation Christmas Child shoebox. Our campaign is going to kick off on really the 13th of September. That's when you can start bringing back boxes. Now, we have some boxes out front that this morning you can pick up. And if you pick up a box, please, please, please be sure to pick up a how to pack a shoebox brochure for each shoebox that you take. So if you take 10 shoeboxes, get 10 brochures, because those brochures tell you how to pack the shoebox, and then each one also has a boy, girl, and age category on them that you'll cut out and tape onto your shoebox. You can begin returning those on Sunday, September the 13th. But pick them up now, today. There's, like I said, a limited number out there. If there's not any out there when you get out, then just wait till next week, or I'll go hunt you down some this morning. We've got a bunch. I just don't have them all folded up like those that are out there. So anyways, be sure to do that. We want to break our record. Let's see. Last year we had, I think, 1,195. Last year, give yourself a hand. You guys did it. So I figured a goal of 1,300 boxes this year would be a good goal. So we shattered our goal last year. I think our goal was like 700 or 800. We just blew it out of the water. So we were real excited about that and so happy for it. Hey, a couple of other things I just want to mention before Pastor Jeff brings his message this morning. One is I've become aware of several people that have encountered potential fraud and scam schemes on the internet, on their phones, or in email or whatever. So we're putting together a program that's going to be on Wednesday night, September the 23rd, that is Fraud Scam Awareness 101. And it's going to basically be how show you how to identify if someone is trying to scam you. I can spot a scam a mile away, and so I've got a lot of good information to share with you. And if you would like to be a part of that, we encourage you to come out on that night. I think it'll be just that one night. It may be over an hour. We'll see. If it takes me more time than that, then we'll do it for 2 weeks in a row. But really important, this isn't just for you. This is for our community. So if you know somebody, anyone that might need this, please let them know about this class. Have them come. We're going to live stream it. And I really think this is going to be beneficial to a lot of people, especially our elderly like me, that sometimes don't understand all of the technology that's going on and what can happen. So please be aware of that and share that with your friends and try to make it out for that. There are a few brochures out on the table, full length, 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper that you could take with you and share with your friends. Last thing, Bethel at the Park's coming up September 30th. Hera, be there for that. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Jeff.
You're welcome, Keith, and thank you very much. No, seriously, thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Okay. Also, just a reminder for everyone, since we are not passing plates anymore, or buckets or pots or sacks, whatever we had, you know, whatever you want to call them, whatever your denomination says you're supposed to pass to collect tithe and offering. We have tithes and offerings boxes at the back four doors that you can put your tithes and offerings into there. We appreciate the faithfulness of this congregation, and we're thankful that that is one of the ways that we show our favor to God, and one of the ways that he gets to show his favor back to us, blessing us when we give freely and cheerfully. We did take the flaps off of it so that no one has to touch it, because that's the whole idea of having the box in the first place. So there's no flaps on it, just stick it in the slot. It's a whole lot of fun. You gotta try it. First Corinthians 2, 11 through 12. Turn there with me. I want to share one other thing with you. Last week we talked about encouragement and the importance of encouragement and how to do that for one another and how important that is. One of the things that I forgot to mention is our youth pastor, Stephen, has got in touch with some of the schools. We've heard from a couple of people, some teachers and retired teachers, that school teachers these days are really taking a bad rap, and they're going through some really rough times. You've probably heard some schools are opening, sometimes they open and they close, and sometimes they're just half a days or these days, you know. So teachers are like, I don't know. I believe it sounds like teachers are kind of getting it from both ends. So in the sermon last week, we talked about the importance of encouragement. We feel like we can be an impact for the teachers in this community. So what we've done is we set up it's called local missions. We give to missions. We give to an orphanage in Uganda. We give to a ministry in Ecuador, KC George in India. We built a church a couple of years ago there, and we give to him, and also the McDowells in Africa, and Pioneer Bible Translators, a couple in, what's the name of that place? Some place that they don't have Bibles. They don't even have a Bible yet. And so they send couples, Vanuatu. They send couples there to live there among the people for years and years and years, learn the language, translate Bibles. Anyway, fantastic ministry, really, truly taking the gospel to the world that don't have it yet. So we give to these people. We've adopted a new one, and that's called local missions, and we're going to take local missions and use it to impact people in our community right here at home, so that we're not just doing impacting people across the world, but also right here. And the first thing we're going to do is encourage teachers. We're going to put together some type of gift basket or sack or something and send it to all the teachers in the area. And we're just going to take one school at a time. But we'd like to say, listen, we support you. We thank you. You don't have to come to our church. This isn't about advertising a church. It's about sharing the love of Christ, like what Keith talked about. We just want to say, listen, if you need prayer, I'm here for you. Give me a call. Things like that to the teachers, because teachers are, and we have some teachers here that are probably like, yes, please, thank you. Yeah. So we have some teachers in the congregation and our family, and so we want to just support those in the community. So I'm really excited about that. So when you do give in the boxes that are so fun to put money into, you can notate on there that you want it to go to local missions or any of the missions, or just your tithes and offerings, either way. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 12. Now, I'm real excited about this, and I'm gonna begin with prayer, though, before I start preaching, because I want to get right. I want to get us all right and thinking properly. We're about to get into the Word, right? God, you are an amazing God, and we are trying to be amazing as well. And so as in our efforts to learn and to grow spiritually, guide us, give us that understanding and that wisdom that it takes to apply your will correctly to our lives, and teach us every day, grow us in this message today, God, and help us all to get something out of this so we can take something home so that we can be a better impact for our families and our friends and people in this world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Talking with God. 1 Corinthians 2:11 and 12. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Now you may have noticed in a lot of my sermons, I mention the words growing and nurturing relationship with God. Because that's what Christianity is about. And I know that it's one of the most basic, fundamental principles of Christianity. But it seems like this day and age, it's something that we have to fight the most for in this busy culture of 2020, amen, is the relationship. Building a relationship that takes time and communication. But I mentioned the growing and nurturing relationship very often. Even these words up here are about growing and nurturing a relationship. Our motto is kind of love, learn, grow, and go. We love, it's agape love that we only get from God. And our love back to Him, His love for us, His love for the world, which means also our love for the world. And then we have learn. We're studying Colossians on Wednesday night, and Paul writes several times about increasing your knowledge of God. So we're learning about God. I want to know God more, so I'm learning about God, and that's done, well, we'll talk about that a little bit, but time, communication, the Word of God, prayer, and then there's grow. We want to grow our relationship with God. We don't just kick off a relationship when we get saved and then you kind of get to go, just head towards the end of life. We grow in our relationship with God. When we stop growing a relationship with God, it's highly possible that we begin to fall back a little bit. It's just like our relationship with our spouses or our kids. We have to grow and nurture that relationship. My relationship with my wife, Jill, after 30-some-odd years. Oh, I did it again. She was 4, though. But my relationship with Jill has grown so much. Like, I would never have dreamt that we could be so close and that I could experience this kind of love. I thought I loved her when I was 22, 21 years old. But it's nothing like that today. So we grow our relationship, and then we go. We go because, I mentioned this last week when talking about encouraging people, we go because the people that our God values becomes valuable to us because of my love for God, right? Amen? So we go to share the gospel with all people. Christianity is about relationship, which results from time and communication. I'm going to say time and communication a lot today. When I do premarital counseling, one of the things that I put a high value on is communication. Because a lot of marriages begin to have problems, and excuses are change of interests, you know, we have grown apart, finances becomes a problem, habits, things like this. All of those things wouldn't be such a huge problem if we have appropriate communication. If we have proper communication and we build our relationship with that, just sometimes you're just going to have to set aside time and talk it out, right? By design, our relationship with God is personal and intimate. As a praise and worship leader, a lot of times I wondered and asked God, why isn't there something very specific in the Bible? You know, couldn't you have put some better instructions in this book so that I know exactly how to do praise and worship? Maybe a step-by-step process so that when somebody says, oh, you can't do that in praise and worship, I can say, yes, I can. I have this step-by-step process, right? We sometimes want that. Even in our relationship, we sometimes want that. But I don't know about you, but my wife did not come with an instruction manual. By design, we have to spend time in communication with our Father God to grow that relationship. So I said, God, there are some things in life it would have just been easier if you'd have said, here's this and here's this and here's this. And he finally taught me and he said, if I gave you a procedure, you would begin to follow the procedure during praise and worship and not my spirit. So what that means is I have to stop. I have to set aside time and communicate. Because my relationship with God may look a wee bit different than yours, right? So I have to do that. And that's why I say it's design, by design that we nurture that intimate and personal relationship. There's not a one-size-fits-all Christianity. Isn't that good, though? That's a good thing. That's a positive thing. I'm just going to have to set aside time and talk to my Father God. Jesus said this in John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you. He was praying to his Father God. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And not just know of God. There's a big difference. But know God. The demons that Jesus faced in the New Testament knew who God was, but they didn't have a relationship with him. And so that's what we're going to establish first in this series, is God desires a relationship with you, and he desires that communication. Paul prayed for the people in the church of Ephesus. In Ephesians 1:17. Now he writes this letter to the church. So these are church people. These are Christians. He says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation knowledge, a revelation in the knowledge of him. Revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, a scripture before that, he says, I'm thankful. I hear about the faith that you have in your Lord Jesus. So they know God personally. But he continues to pray and says, I pray that you have a revealed knowledge of God, something that the Spirit tells you. That's a growing, nurturing knowledge of our God. God desires relationship. Even in the Old Testament, early on in Exodus 25:8, God told his people, he told Moses, tell them, let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. It was God's desire, his heart, to dwell among his people. So the Holy Spirit resided in the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. Actually, on the mercy seat above the covenant. He says later on in Exodus 25:22, there I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between two cherubim, which are on the Ark of Testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. And now we are that temple, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. The process of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins creates us a temple to the Holy Spirit. That's why in the New Testament, when Jesus died, it said the curtain in the Holy of Holies was ripped from top to bottom. And this isn't just a curtain like a shower curtain or on your window. This was a big, thick, heavy curtain. And it ripped from top to bottom where the Holy Spirit was, because that was, it was the end of the Holy Spirit residing in the Holy of Holies in the temple, because the Holy Spirit, because of the death of, and resurrection of Jesus, could now be on the inside of us. God still living among his people, but now in a very personal and intimate way. 2 Corinthians 6:16, Paul says this: "For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.'" Paul says we are that now. And he quoted from Leviticus. Again, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, he's asked this: "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" In the first scripture that I read, in 1 Corinthians 2:12, "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." You see, there's communication on some level, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. And I thought, you know, isn't it awesome that God desires such a personal and intimate relationship? Sometimes in our view of this magnificent, holy God, creator of all things, we sometimes lose the fact that he wants to be very personal with me. He wants to be very personal with you. He wants an intimate relationship. We see this even in the divvying up of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:11. "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Christianity is a very individual and personal relationship with God. That means that your relationship may look a little bit different than someone else's, but God desires that relationship. And the growth of that relationship may take, or does take, time and communication. Now, there may be an immediate beginning of a relationship, but the growth of that relationship will take time and communication. But it's important that we establish this fact. God wants a relationship with you, and he wants it very personal, and he needs that communication. The reason this is important for us to realize, Colossians 1:12, we read this Wednesday as well. God qualifies you to become his child. You are qualified to be a child of God. And here's why it's important. You are valuable to God, and you need to realize that, or else your relationship begins with faulty perception. You're qualified and you're valuable, not because of anything you've done or said or who you are or anything else, but only because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You are valuable. If we go into a relationship thinking that I've earned something or that I'll never amount to anything, either one of those things, we go into this relationship with a faulty perceptions. And then we'll have to grow out of that at some point. So it's important that we realize basic stuff first. God desires a personal relationship with you. Somebody say amen. That's good news, man. I'm telling you. Hey, doggies. Seek to know God. We are instructed several times in the Word of God to seek to know God. And I used this example Wednesday. When I first met Jill, and I really began to have feelings for her, I began to seek to know Jill. I wanted to increase my knowledge of Jill. So what we did is we would talk on the phone a lot. And this was back when you had the... again, she was four. But we talked on the phone a lot. We spent that time in communication. If she wrote me a card or a note or a letter, I read that more than once. Right? I memorized it. Increase in the knowledge of God. I relate it to that because I've been through that, and so I want to relate that to my relationship with God as well. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Okay? If you're going to approach God, you got to believe that he's there. And he must believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So God, I know you're there, and I know that if I'm coming to you to seek you, that's what I'm going to get. Thank you. He's going to reward those who seek him. I was praying about that a couple weeks ago. Seek him, you know, and I'm just going over this. Seeking God. God, I'm seeking you. Oh, my goodness, I'm seeking you. Sometimes you have those days. God, I'm seeking you, seeking you, seeking God. How do I seek God? Like, what do I feel, what I think, what do I say? Seeking God. And I ask God. I begin to pray about this. I said, well, what exactly are you talking about that there? I mean, God is everywhere, right? He's omnipresent. We're taught that in Sunday school. God is everywhere. How do you seek something or someone that is everywhere? It doesn't look like they would need seeking, right? And I asked God about this as I was praying. It's almost like there's something else, God, here that you want me to get. And he taught me two things, and it involves spirit and wind. And I want to tell you this. Two things that he taught me about this scripture, seeking him. First, let me give you the Greek word of seek in this case. It comes from exeteo, to search out, investigate, to crave, diligently and carefully search. How do I diligently and carefully search for something that is, or someone that is everywhere? And he taught me two things. The first one, he said, spirit. God is a spirit. And this changed my viewpoint on how to seek God. John 4:24, Jesus tells him, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. If I seek God, who is a spirit, I'm seeking God spiritually. I'm not seeking for God. He's findable. But I'm carefully and diligently investigating God. I'm learning more about God. It's like if you were to say, seek Jill's spirit. I'm not just hunting for my wife, Jill. I'm learning about her. What's her spirit? What's her true heart? I'm seeking. I'm investigating that. And he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. Diligently and carefully searching for him. Now, this next thing he taught me this. He said, because I said, how do you search for you? You're everywhere. And he said, how would you search for wind? And I thought, well, that's interesting. What I would do is I would, because you can't see wind, but it's all around us. There's wind coming into this building right now through the vents from our air conditioner. Can I have an amen? Thank you, hallelujah, for that. But there's wind all around us, but we can't see it. How would we research? How would we investigate wind? And my first thought was, well, I would see where wind was working or moving something, and I would go and search that out. I would become part of that. And he's like, and then I had the light bulb. If I'm searching for God, I'm looking for God's movement in my life or someone's life around me. Do you remember Philip and the Ethiopian in Acts 8? I believe it's Acts 8. Yeah, Acts 8, 26 through 30. Philip was ministering. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to go over here to this area. And then he sees this Ethiopian in a chariot. And the Holy Spirit said, go and join him in that chariot. And he did. And God was working with that Ethiopian. God was already moving in that Ethiopian's heart. And Philip, through spiritual knowledge, through the Holy Spirit talking to him on the inside, spirit to spirit, he was able to take part of that, and he went and joined that chariot. He went and joined what God was doing. If you see where God is moving, go and join that movement. I want to give you another personal example that happened to me this week. I got a letter this week from someone that I don't think I've met this person yet. I desperately want to, though. Hopefully she's here today. But I got a letter on Friday in the mail. And it was a card written to me of encouragement. And this person will never know how important it was for me to receive this letter on this day. It was at a critical point in my life because of some things in ministry that I was experiencing. And that letter of encouragement was so phenomenal that I will keep that card for the rest of my life. And I thank her so much for that card. But what happened is, earlier in the week, and she may not even realize this, but God was moving in me. And God moved in her. And she felt that unction of the Holy Spirit, I truly believe, wrote that letter. And by Friday, it landed on my desk, and it was so needed. I was like, thank you, God. It made my whole weekend. I was like, yes, okay. Everything is good now. And so it was so wonderful that someone saw that move of God, even though they may not have recognized it. So how do we apply that to our lives? As you go throughout your day, maybe you see a Walmart checker, cashier, and you've got your spiritual antenna up, and you're like, I'm searching for God. Is God moving here? God may be operating in that person's heart. And then your simple, hey, you know what? I just feel like saying God loves you. Just want you to know. That may be the seed that's planted that's going to change that person's eternity. Amen? You never know. Where is God moving in your everyday life? Go be a part of that. Time and communication. 1 Corinthians 2:11-12. I want to read this again. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Who knows you better than your spirit? And then he says the same thing about God. Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Notice the importance of communication, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered to the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that love him. It's not something your eyes will get, or your heart will get, or you'll think up in your mind. But I have revealed them unto you by my Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Yea, the deep things of God. Can you imagine what the deep things of God would be? Have you ever gotten confused by the new Tic Tac boxes? No. Me neither. But I'm thinking the deep things of God. It's got to be amazing, right? Think about it, the deep things of God. I heard Kenneth Copeland one time talk about the scripture, and he said, there's probably ideas out there that God's got just waiting to give to someone a good idea for a flying car, a car that operates on water, no gas needed, you know, all of these things. There's great inventions that God's probably got for us and great ideas that God's got for us. He said, I'll reveal them to you by my spirit. Our spirits communicate with each other, his spirit and my spirit, because who knows me and who knows God better than our spirits? And that's how that communication starts. And that's how that we grow that communication and that relationship. Now, a lot of people I know read in 1 Kings 19, you know, when God takes Elijah up to this mountain, then there's a big roar, and God's not in that. The voice of God isn't in the volcano or the earthquake or the big mighty wind and the loud boisterous things. And they say, God spoke to Elijah in a still small voice, in the whisper of a wind. Sometimes that's how God will sound to you. There may be times that God speaks a little bit louder. 2 weeks ago, I read about the rebellion of Korah. Do you remember that? And they were being disobedient to Moses, and God had had enough of them and said, all right, you guys step back over here, and I've got these disobedient here, and the earth opened and swallowed up hundreds of them. Loud and clear, God. I got you on that one. There's no still small whisper in that voice. Perhaps Elijah needed to hear God because he was in a still small voice because he was so used to hearing God in the loud, boisterous things. I want to look for God in the huge things. And maybe sometimes we need a reminder that sometimes God works in the very tiny things as well, the little things. And answering someone's questions that come to you because of a school assignment or something like that. Sometimes God moves in the very little things. It's going up to the cashier and saying, hey, you know what? God loves you. I just want you to know that. You may know that already, but I want to tell you anyway. God loves you. Those still small things. And then there may be times God wants you to shout it. Go into the store and yell. You could go up and steal one of the microphones at the front. Attention, Walmart shoppers. Just want you to know that God loves you. And then run away. By the way, I probably shouldn't have. Because I just thought of a few of you that will try that now and say, but my pastor said. But I have revealed them to you through my spirit, for the spirit searcheth all things, even the deep things of God. Your relationship and your communication with your Father God may look differently than mine, just like my relationship with my spouse looks differently than yours. As a matter of fact, your relationship with God may look differently than it did last year. I hope that it does. Just like when you grow your relationship with a person years and years later, it looks differently because it's grown. In other words, don't get locked into a habit of how you communicate or relate to God. You got to keep it genuine. Guys, your wife is going to know if you've memorized a couple of sayings that you're going to say to her every time. They know. You're going to have to keep it genuine. Amen. Time and communication. Like I said at the beginning, although it is one of the most basic of Christian doctrines and principles, it is often what we must fight for the most in this crazy, busy culture of 2020. You're just going to have to set aside time to talk to your Father God. God desires a very personal relationship with you. And for that to be successful, it takes an investment of time and communication. So I want to challenge you this week set aside time for talking with God. If you would, stand with me, please. I pray that this message, if nothing else, you just feel that challenge in your spirit to begin to